Aren't you glad you were introduced to Jesus Christ, the one and only? Hallelujah. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. As it relates to this world and the population of this world, people that are born and die in darkness, never knowing Jesus, never hearing the gospel, then we understand, or should understand, just how blessed and privileged that we are here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. John chapter 3, if you'll turn with me. John chapter 3, this is verses 17 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I hope I didn't give the guys upstairs the wrong chapter. Did I? I'm okay. John chapter 3 and verse 17. This is what's on my heart this morning, bringing hope to a hopeless generation. Bringing hope to a hopeless generation. That's where we are right now. Everywhere you look, it seems like it is hopeless. There is so much around us. Last Sunday morning, Brother Shelton preached on hope. And what an important thing that we grasp hold of the reality that there is hope in Christ, but only in Him. And He's the only hope for this age, for this generation. So we have to make sure as believers and as the church that we enter into that hope, or we have nothing to offer to this world. Let's read here in John chapter 3, and we're going to read beginning with verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Praise God. Amen. You know, it's an important thing to understand the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ. He came to this world and He had an eye for salvation, an eye for the lost. And in His hands, He brought hope and salvation to the world. You may have heard a news report yesterday about this British young lady, rock and roll star, Amy Winehouse, died apparently in her sleep of an overdose of drugs. They haven't verified it, but they know that she's had a long history of drug abuse. And another tragic death of a young person, and in a hopeless situation. And any time that I hear something like this, it makes me wonder, Lord, did anyone ever tell her about You? Did anyone ever give her hope? Or did she live and die and never know about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you that England and most of Western Europe is in such darkness. And there's just not much going on in a nation that once knew revival and knew the move of God, but now has moved so far away from that. And this is a young lady. She died at 27 years of age, and they're making a deal over the fact that many of these rock and roll stars died of drug overdoses at age 27. Is there anybody here that you're 27 years of age? Josh, stand up there. I wondered if you weren't about that age. Let me tell you, there is hope in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Regardless of the age. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. And I do believe that they said, well, there was all these different ones. Some of these rock and roll stars were people in my day. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and go down the list. There's probably six or eight of these young people who died of drug overdoses at the age 27. I got to thinking about, where was I when I was 27? When I was 27, I had just about 2 months before my 27th birthday, I had started pastoring. Now, I know that I'm not any better than any of them, and Josh is not any better than any of these others who've died tragically in their youth. The only thing that changed the circumstance for me and for you and for young people like Josh is that they heard the gospel and that they received the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. There is no other hope. And we're dealing with so many that are in a crisis situation. And by the way, I know that the Lord comes with, and there's coming a day when there will definitely be judgment, and the Lord will come with to bring judgment upon those who are in their sin. But the Scripture says in Ezekiel 33, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we're still living right now in a day of when the door of mercy is still open. And there's still an opportunity for some of this generation to hear the gospel and to be saved. The whole motivation for this Friday night effort is not just to have fun and to have food. The whole motivation is to somehow make an appeal to young people who are distracted by the world and by sin and by other things that may have a hold on their life, and let them hear other young people talking about what God has done in their life, and to give them some hope for their future, because without God, there is no hope. There's only trouble and heartache. Excuse me. There's only hopelessness and despair. And if you're in the predicament in your life, and you can't see any way that God could work in the situation that you're in, there is hope, and that hope is in the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We know that He's coming one day to judge. But right now, He still has His arms out reaching and open to whosoever will. We still have this wonderful opportunity to tell people about this glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we let these days of mercy and grace go by without declaring that there is hope in Jesus? Oh, we cannot, we must not. We need to take it to heart. We need to be burdened, and we need to pray, and we need to reach out with this message of hope to a world that is in such need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sure, the day of judgment is coming. Acts 17, verse 31, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. There's coming a day, and that day is appointed of the Lord, when the door of grace, it's going to close, when all the opportunities will be over, and then everyone will stand before God, and those in their sin will stand before God, and then there'll be no hope. But right now there is hope. Praise God. There is hope. There is an answer, and the gospel can still do its work, and the Spirit of God can still do its work among the hearts of people. And we must not at all ever doubt that God can do wonderful, mighty things by His mercy and His grace. Praise God. Even Jezebel, as wicked as she was, a deceiver, a fornicator, an idolater, as wicked as she was, Revelation chapter 2 says, I gave her space to repent. God even gave Jezebel a door of mercy, an opportunity to repent. An opportunity. Doesn't make any difference how awful or how wicked or how deep in sin that they may be. God is still reaching for them. And that's the message that we read from this text. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't come to declare that there's no hope. He came to let the world know that there is hope, and that hope is only through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how can we communicate this gospel? The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. This is a generation right now that they were born in sin. Every one of us, we were born in our sin. And if we go on in that direction of living out a sinful life, we'll live and we'll die in our sin. But there has to be a divine interruption. There has to be a divine intervention. There has to be a work of grace whereby God comes and gives to the hopeless some hope. And that hope can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, they're bound in their sin. They're condemned already. But only those who believe, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. This is a world that's inherited this sin nature, and when it's left unchecked, then men just go deeper and deeper and deeper into their sin, away from God. And there's only one thing that can pull them out of that sin. Amen. And that is just one look at the Lord. Just one look. Remember there, let's go back in the same text to verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He came into the world, and that was symbolic of what Christ was going to accomplish on the cross. Every one of those children of Israel that had been bitten by those fiery serpents, all that was required of them to be saved, if they did not look, then they were going to die. But all it took was just one look. Now that lets you know just how simple and how wonderful that this message is. If somehow you can get the gaze of the world away from all the things they're involved in and all the things that have captured their attention and caused them just to take a good look at Jesus. Only one look. Glory to God. That's an old song. Only one look. I asked my wife to sing it. She don't know it, so she didn't sing it. But instead she sang Jesus, the one and only. The same message. Only one look. All so bowed down with care. He has promised to carry all of your burdens. He'll bear. Hallelujah. If we could just somehow, through the message of the gospel and the working of the Spirit of God, give hope to someone where they'll just take one good look at Jesus, then there's hope for their life to be turned around. Glory to God. Well, I have to give you an update on my aunt. God's still doing some pretty amazing things. Got another call this week from my mom, and she said, I got to tell you this, that Barb called and said, I want you to come, and I want, she has four children. The oldest is about 5 years younger than me. He's around 50 years old. And then there's two boys and two girls. She said, I want my kids to come, and Jewel, I want you to come because I want to talk to my kids. Well, my mom didn't know what was going to happen here. At first, she talked a little bit about some of her business things that she needed to take care of. But then she said to her kids, now listen, I want you to know, you just got to know my aunt. This is not her. I just want you to know that I'm a Christian now. And I've given my heart to God. And I want you to know that when I get better, I'm going to be going to Jewel's church with her. And when I get better, I'm gonna go with her, and I'm gonna sit with her in church. And they're all just standing there. Even my mom is just standing there, just shocked at what she's saying. And then she turned to her oldest daughter, who writes her checks and pays her bills for her, and she said, Becky, I want you to start writing my tithes and sending them to Jewel's church right now. Let me tell you, when somebody starts paying their tithes, they have really got born again. Amen. 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 And then she said all these things and testified to them of what the Lord had done in her life. And then she said, and now I'm going to pray for you. And she prayed for each one of her sons and daughters, asking the Lord to bless them and to help them and for God to do a work in their life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All it takes is just one look. That's all it takes. Just one look at Jesus that can turn everything around. You're concerned about your family and your loved ones. I'm concerned about mine. I have needs in my family. I need the Lord to work. But if somehow that they can just take one good look at Jesus, they're going to see that he's the one that can turn things around in their life. He's the only one that can bring hope to the circumstance that they are in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, it's in order in the middle of the preaching just to take a moment, just thank the Lord. Let's do that right now for what he can do. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, I know that there's hope in this hopeless time. And, Lord, we have loved ones and we have children and we have those that we're concerned about, Lord. Oh, but we thank you, Lord, that you are at work mightily, Lord, and that there's hope in you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, what can we do that they can see Jesus? What can we do so that they can see Jesus? That's the question that I've been asking, because I've served the Lord a long time. But how is it that a child, a boy, can grow up in my house and not see Jesus? How is that possible? And I've just been asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Because I want him to see Jesus. And how is it possible that he can? It's an overwhelming situation and a trick of the enemy that tries to destroy our hope and destroy our faith in God. It's not just you and me that experiences this type of attack of the enemy. David did in Psalm 42 in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So I read that verse over and over and over again, asking the Lord, Lord, what do I do and how? And here's the answer right here. I've known the Lord a long time, but I need to get another look. I need to see his countenance. For I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The phrase there means the salvation of his face. That I could just look to the Lord and get a good glimpse of him once again and his mercy and his love and the possibilities that are ours through Jesus Christ. I need to spend a little more time before the Lord in his presence. I need to see the salvation of his face and know that his face is turned toward me and that he has not forsaken me. And that's where I'm going to be able to revive hope in my life. And I'm going to have something then to offer to those that need to see Jesus in me. You see, you can't give something that you don't possess yourself. You cannot offer to a world something that you don't have in your own life. And so maybe you're like me and you're asking the Lord, Lord, give to me that quality, that touch in my life, that ability to understand, Lord, you in a greater way, a greater revelation of who you are. Lord, let me see the salvation of your face so that my hope can be revived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hate to just keep going over and over this stuff about my aunt, but let me tell you, when you have a victory like this, it's amazing. You just stand back thinking, Lord, how did this happen? How did all this happen? And God, my mother said that the Lord, she was reading the Bible, and the Lord gave her this verse, Jeremiah 16, verse 19. Oh, Lord, my strength. You see, my aunt has no strength. She can hardly feed herself. She can't write out her checks. She can't stand up on her feet. Her strength is totally gone. And so my mom gave her this verse, Jeremiah 16 and 19, the first part of it. Oh, Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. So she wrote it out on an index card and gave it to her. She said, I saw it just laying there for the last 2 weeks. My mom goes every morning and helps her, you know, get ready for the day, the nursing home. She, that card is just laying there. Finally, she was thinking, maybe I should just move it. And as she started to pick it up, my aunt said,
Well, I've been working on that verse. And my mom said, what? She said, I've been memorizing that verse, getting that verse. And this is just not the person that I've known. But now she's reading that verse and she's grasping for the truth. And she is looking for the hope and the strength that comes in our day of affliction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You see, this, if you put your hope in the Lord, the enemy tells you, you're going to hope in the Lord and it's going to be a disappointment. You're going to be ashamed. You're going to be let down. It's not going to be real. But he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given in us. You see, we can offer hope if we can, number one, if we can look into his face again. We can offer hope if we get a hold of the confidence that this is not a false hope, but is a hope that is rooted in the love of God. That love that will not fail. The same love that has been extended to this world, that every man can be saved. Amen. This is a love that's not going to fail. You're not going to be disappointed by the Lord when you put your hope in him. Then Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. How can we get a hold of hope that we can pass on to the hopeless? The word of God. Amen. These scriptures that were given to us, written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take another look at the Lord. Understand that he's dependable as his love is the assurance that your hope is not misplaced, but it's real, and he's going to come through for you. And as you turn to the Lord and turn to his word, the more that you hear it, the more that you read it, the more that you spend time being exposed to the word of the Lord, the more that your heart and your spirits are going to be lifted up. Hallelujah. And you're going to have a greater confidence and a hope that God is at work. And then Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As believers, available to us today is this wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, how we need to realize that the battle that we're involved in right now is a spiritual battle. And it's only as we are filled with the Spirit of God that we're going to be able to abound in hope. Our hope comes from a divine source, a spiritual source. And it's absolutely no way that we can offer hope to this world without the power of the Spirit of God. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, help me to not try in my own strength, but somehow give me strength and power in of your Spirit to be able to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19, John 3, 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What we're seeing all around us today is perversion and corruption. The mayor of New York City today, I believe, is performing the first gay marriage in the state of New York. The mayor of New York City. It's unbelievable that we've come to this place of being so degraded and so far from what is right. It's because men's minds are perverted. Their minds are twisted and turned away from the truth. And why is it that God and the things of God and the Word of God are so hated? It's because they bring it all to light. It reveals the wickedness. We want the Word of God out of every public arena, everywhere. We don't want to hear it. And then sad to say, as Brother
Bright was talking about in Sunday school, even in churches today, the Word of God has been put to the side, and now it's some pep talk and some, you know, motivational speech. And really, most churches today could survive on a rock and roll band and a speaker, a motivational speaker, because that's pretty much what it is every week. No Word of God, no power of the Spirit of God, no real manifestation of God's presence. And so we're living in a time when there is a barrenness, and there is this need for the Word of the Lord, truth, to prevail. Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Light exposes, but let me tell you, that's not the only thing it does. Light illuminates. Amen. Light causes things that don't make sense. And really, the things of God's Word are confusing to most people that are in the world and in sin. They don't understand the gospel. That's why they make a mockery of it and degrade the Word of the Lord. But light will illuminate. It will bring understanding. It will bring the knowledge of God. And so that light has to be manifested in us, in this world. We are called to be bearers of the light. Amen. That's our responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. That's who we are. We're ambassadors. We're here in this world in Christ's stead. We're His representatives. And we have to have a touch of God upon our lives to bring hope and to bring light to this world. Hallelujah. To somehow to make the things of God to begin to make sense for them to come into a spiritual understanding of the truth. Otherwise, they're walking in darkness. Oh God, help us to bring hope in the midst of all of this confusion and all of this darkness in our world today. But help us to live in such a way as to bring hope and light to this generation who desperately needs it. Hallelujah. I pray that the Lord will strengthen every one of us. I pray that God would work in such a way that every message that comes across this pulpit, all of the Sunday school classes and teachers and the ministries that go on here, that more importantly, there will be this light shining brightly to people that walk into this place, and that they can understand that there is hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. Outside of Him, no hope. No hope. I don't know what your need or your situation is, but I do know there's no answer outside of the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. There's no answer outside of the Lord. You can try everything in your own strength, but the answer is just one look. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just take one look at Him. And in His face, the salvation of His face, just one glimpse at Him, then you'll know that there is hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wonder how many of you with me here this morning, you have people that maybe it's your family or maybe it's others that you're concerned about. They're in darkness. They can't see their need for God. But you want to be used of the Lord to influence them, to help them to see Jesus. I wonder if you'll just stand with me right now. Amen. Stand with me if you're able to stand. And let's take a moment and let's pray. And let's ask the Lord for us that are already Christians, believers. Let's ask the Lord to give us another glimpse, another look to see Him once again in a greater way, in a fresh revelation of who He is and all that's available through Him, that somehow the light of truth will be something that's shining out of our lives to a world that's in such darkness. Oh God. Oh God,
How is it possible that there would be those around us? There's a man that came to church Wednesday night just before the service. And, he was just homeless and needing help. After the service, I took him to try to get him a place to stay for the night. The whole time I was talking to him, but I could tell I wasn't getting through. I was not getting through. There's nothing I was saying to him. Oh, he was agreeing with me, but I could tell I wasn't getting through. I want a quality, an ability, power. And I want the edge that I need to be able to touch and to penetrate the hearts of people that are in such darkness. And we need that. You need it. I need it. Without that, then we're not going to be able to be effective for God. Let's call on the Lord here this morning. Father, we recognize that we are so needy. And Lord, that there's no way in our strength or our own power or abilities, Lord, that any good thing can be accomplished. But Lord, when you come, when you come, Lord, and help us to see you and help us to have an understanding of who you are. Lord, that you came into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to bring hope to this world. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us time. You're giving to our friends and loved ones the opportunity, a space to repent. But Lord, I don't know how long that door is going to be open. So God, I just pray somehow help us. Help us, Lord, with power. Help us, Lord, with ability. Give us, Lord, strength that's beyond our natural strength. Words, Lord, that would be words from you. An anointing in our life, Lord, that will touch the lives of people, Lord. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Lord, we need to get hope in our own hearts so that we can then reveal to this generation the hope that is in us. Oh, we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, that each one in this building here today, Lord, that we would not just go along with our lives as if there's no sense of urgency, Lord, but instead that we would recognize the pressing need of souls that are lost and are far away from you. And Lord, may the light of truth shine in us, and may we communicate to this generation, Lord, that there is hope. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. If you would, just bow your heads with me for a moment. If there's anyone here today, you are in need of the Lord. You're not serving the Lord. And you know you're not ready to meet the Lord. I just pray that God, by His Spirit, is already talking to you, speaking to you. And that you would admit before God your need. Let me tell you, oh, the door is wide open. The door is wide open. God is offering to you eternal life. The enemy is convincing you that it's hard and that you can't live this life, but what you need is just to take one good look at Him. You need to get a real experience. You need to really have an encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. He can change your life. And I want to invite you to this altar. If you're here in this service.